Lecture topic: learn from the faults of others.
One person sent me a clip of Hazrat Mullah Masroor Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi regarding istiqamah, consistency. He said that when you hear the thing, you'll be surprised. We don't even know what is istiqamah. And he said this part too. Istiqamah in deen, we take it as we punctual namaz only. When a person is very punctual namaz, does not miss his takbir ula, all other things what he does, with punctuality. He calls himself the istiqamah, consistency. He went on to say that in every work of life, to have consistency, that is what istiqamah. This is what we do not have in us. Then he gave us examples that if a person when he comes home, when he enters the house, he must know where to keep his keys. He must know where to keep it. No matter what it is, that's called consistency. You've got to go and keep it in a place where it's supposed to belong, that's where it belongs to. You have to be so concerned that it must be there. In other words, whatever you're doing for the well-being of the next person, that I must not cause inconvenience to anyone. The most important thing is I must not cause inconvenience to anyone. Okay, you're running down, you just open the door, you go to the toilet, you just throw the key there for a while. But when you go in the toilet and you come out, consistency will bring about that I must put the key back in place. I must keep it where it belongs to. You take out the jacket. You take the jacket, just throw it one place. Well, you've got a maid, you see. You've got a maid. Whereas you take the jacket and below it belongs, put it there. That is called istiqamah, consistency. You take your clothing out, you don't throw it in the bed. You keep it where it belongs to. Everything that you do, you know that's where it belongs to. There's no inconvenience to anyone. Not to yourself too. You're looking for a pen. I'm giving an example Hazrat is giving there. You're looking for a pen. You got the place where the pen is kept. You use the pen, another place, I don't worry, man. Let me leave it here. I'll leave it there. Now after you cause so much inconvenience to yourself and to everyone else too. And the only person you fight is the wife. She's the only victim. You make all the mistakes. Whether it's your socks, whether it's your shoes, whether anything else what you do, whether it's the scissors, whether it's the pen, whether it's the papers. You took the paper from a certain place, that place you kept it, that it belongs there. Now you mortal thing, you big shot, you know. You use the thing, that place here, and then you make sure you leave it there. Wow, shabash, istiqamah, that's again istiqamah. Again istiqamah. You see how much was your concern? I must not cause any inconvenience to anyone. In your own business, you must do the same thing too. You've got an office. You've got everything in order there. You must know where it's sitting that can kept. You just pick it up just like that. My husband. There's no lights in Jalalabad. You could pull up lights here. There's no lights. When he wakes up in the morning, he knows exactly where the torch is. He just has to put his hand there. He knows exactly where the tablet is. Your wife keeps the tablet one place, you keep nothing else. Medication of yours, you don't keep it exactly. And then the fight is on all the time. And who's at fault? This. So my husband is saying this one thing. You do not have consistency in your own life. To be of that kind that I must be so well-being to others, that no matter what happens, I will not cause any inconvenience. So inconsistency, this istiqamah is this what called istiqamah. He says, how are we naturally? A person who read is would not miss one farz namaz, jamaat, or whatever takbir ula, does not make you become consistent in everything. You're still not a man. You're a man that you not cause any harm to anyone else, not cause any inconvenience to anyone. That is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is what we are lacking today. Each and every one of us. You can see for yourself. Then Hazrat gave his example. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. Even though in the early, late, in the 80s, he was just passing away 1-2 years maybe. Then when he was sleeping, he had to go to the toilet. Now when he went to the toilet, he felt like giddy, and somehow he went to the toilet and came out, and he felt giddy, and like from his hand, that lota fell down. But he was not in the right sense. He went to the bed and said, but look at it, but consistency overpowers you everywhere. He said to himself, you know what, I fell down, yeah, I'm sleeping. But someone goes to the toilet, what happened to that person? Where do you get the water from? Where the water from? He woke up again in that condition. This is what you call consistency. He woke up, he went there, he made sure he put the lotus there back. Now you can answer your question yourself, how consistent we are. You don't have to tell anyone else. You can be in purposeful doing namaz all the time, but are you in this inconsistent? That what is easy is like at home to anywhere, you are so consistent to that point, that's what is easy. It will learn, and you see a person in namaz, whatever, it's called dindar. It's called dindar, take him as a religious person. He's not religious. It haqada karte ho. You just fulfill your rights of Allah. But to fulfill the rights of everyone, to make sure that everyone receives it, no well being to everyone, that is called kamal. That is called. So that person sent me that clip, you know, Azajis. And I was overwhelmed that no doubt that today we have got that thought of us. We're thinking this month that we read namaz. We're thinking we're keeping, you know, fast, nafil fast. We're thinking we're reading Quran. We're thinking we're making zikr. Alhamdulillah. Very good, consistent in that. But what are we consistent in? We're consistent in every way of life, not to cause any kind of inconvenience. The actual madhis is to see the faults of others and to ponder upon it. One is to seek a fault, to see a people's faults and think down, look down at him. One is a person look at next person's fault and look down at him. That we are not allowed to do. No matter how big fault the person is, no matter how big sinner he is, you got no right to look down at him. But when you see the faults of others and to ponder upon it, and you see that you can put your faults out. A Muslim is a mirror to a Muslim. That when you see a fault of another person, immediately you ask yourself, have I got that fault or not? If I got that fault, I will put right. Now you've got nothing to do with him. You did not look down at him. But you look down upon yourself. That, you know, this person got, he saw this fault, and you know what, don't tell me I've got the same fault. When he ponder upon those things, he'll go, like this person got a habit of, you know, backbiting. Now you're still looking down at him. You think to yourself, hey, he's backbiting. Don't think I'm also backbiting. Don't think I'm also backbiting. Now what are you doing to yourself? You're correcting yourself. You're not correcting that person, you're correcting yourself. You're not looking at him down at all. Your person is vulgar. Very bad language speaks. Now you look at that person and see how the people treat him because of his bad habits. You learn a lesson from it. You learn a lesson. Look, this is what this person is doing, this is what happened to him. I must not do the same. Everything that you look at this person is fault, not with the intention of looking down at him, but to take a lesson from it. That's what this is. Isa alayhi salam, people ask him, how did you achieve this great quality in you? He was a Nabi after all. He said, he achieved one by looking at the fault of others. By looking at the fault of others. Why in the worldly things you look at a person's fault, you like to put it right, you say, hey, that person, he was a very rich man, all of a sudden he broke down, he closed down. Now you begin to think, what wrong did he do? He did that wrong, now I must not make that mistake. In worldly matters, it'll be very quickly. You know, that was a very rich man, very rich man. And the next moment you hear, hey, little is down. Now the first thing you ask, what wrong did he do? The wrong that he do, you do not want to do the same wrong. In worldly matters, you keep that importance. In the matter of deen, not to take up fault of others, and take out your own fault is the most important. Those ones. So people ask, it's not just a single. A person who takes himself to be a pious person is a foolish person. Any person who takes himself to be a pious person, a foolish person, don't ever say I'm pious. You're lying. Any person who takes himself to be pious is a foolish person. Everyone should take himself to a sinner. Because a person who takes himself to a sinner is an intelligent person. If someone praises you, that praise is in front of Allah and should hold no importance. Remember one thing, anyone can praise you here. In the eyes of Allah, you don't know. So don't fall for the praise of others. Ask what if Allah praised me, then I can accept. So when it comes to taking a false, you know, and you think yourself to be pious, my Hazrat, one statement, never forget, he said, that day you said, today I read namaz. That's the worst. Today, I really enjoyed my namaz. I achieved it. You achieved nothing. No. The day you say, yeah, today, you know, today was the day. Sad, but that's not the day. How Allah wants you, cannot be according to that. So there will not be a time you must feel, you must be humility, but you must be humble all the time. I did not give namaz how you wanted me to. That feeling that came, that condition that came, you do not know possible that was a feeling and condition was is part of shirk. That condition that you're enjoying and today enjoyed the namaz, that's shirk. Because you only enjoyed the namaz because of the feeling. And you said that that's the best namaz. All the time that namaz is shirk. Because today when we read namaz and we read Quran, we only read the time we have feelings, you know. Honestly, if the day you don't have feelings, close. Today I'm doing nice feeling about it. Yeh sab hazir se, yeh sab makhluk hai. Yeh sab all creation. All these feelings that you experience in namaz, in zikr and all that, that the day, you know, today I'm really enjoying the zikr, so let me make more, thousands and thousands. So you got drowned the feelings, it is all creation. Yes, when the time you don't want to make it, but you say, I'm still making it. That Allah Ta'ala says, my banda is remembering only me and no one else. You don't want to do it, but he's still doing it. Because why? He's not worried about it. Enjoyment is on my enjoyment. My enjoyment. Reading Quran, he says, no, I don't read Quran, but I'm not feeling the Quran. He says, don't know. They say, no, I'm still going to read. Allah Ta'ala says, banda. He don't want to read, but because of me, he's still reading. You're not waiting for that feeling to come, then when the feeling comes and you read that Quran, then that feeling is for creation, not for creator. So that's how it's supposed to be, that one has to know all this. It's very important that you do everything that is for the sake of Allah. Nothing else. So to ponder upon, people ask, it's not Isa Islam. So intelligent person is that person who takes himself as a sinner. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was no one greater than him after Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. What do you think he told Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala? Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala should write the names of the munafiqeen. Nabi Karim should give the name of Allah. Tell me my name in that name. Tell me if my name in that munafiqeen. But look at it, it's been given, it is a Nabi after me, that Umar. The status he will give by Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's actually putting this Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The status he's giving. But he goes to that stoop, to that level, and says, please tell me my name, not Munafiq. They were so great, but they should take themselves low, low. We are nothing but thinking we are very great. Yeah. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said this. Likewise, everyone should look at one's own fault. Without that one cannot make Islam. Until unless you don't look at your own faults, you cannot make Islam. Your Islam relies on your reformation relies on one thing, to look at your own faults. That person is a very fortunate person who looks at his own fault. Before I go further, there's consistency one thing can be mind. Our people today, You know, give them something to read. They want overnight. No, no, I want this dua, can do this dua. I have to just, yeah, read this dua. After a few days, you read it, I don't read anymore. Then how do you expect Allah to accept you? Musa alayhi salam, and Nabi, for 40 years, after 40 years, Allah accepted his dua. Nabi. And now he said, well, I want this work to be done. I want that work to be done. No problem. You read this dua in Allah's hand. You read for 1-2 weeks, enough. Nothing happening, leave it alone. Allah said, both acha. Nothing happening, both acha. You don't want it, I don't want it too. Be consistent. I know one buzruk, you know. One person came and told me, I got this one problem. I want to make what dua must make. One and I think, I don't know how long he made the dua. Allah gave it to you. I'm trying to show consistency. If you want to get married to you, read dua, or send dua, you read. When Allah decides, I'll give it to you. But you must be consistent. You don't read whenever you want to read. When it suits you, read. And you expect Allah to give you. So consistency is very important. Coming back to this point, I was just saying that likewise, everyone should look at the faults. Without that, one cannot have Islam. You cannot have reformation. No reformation can take place without your Islam. And what it says? Allah says. Because, and that Islam is to go against one nafs. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَوَفَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. My Hazrat, you said this woman, خَوَفَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةِ يَلْقَى. Once you went against your nafs, for whatever you do wrong, whatever you do wrong, and you put a stop to it, وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. Then you got Jannah there. You leave your halal wife and you'll go to the wrong haram woman. And you have the means and everything. You're strong, you're young, you got money. You leave your halal wife and go to haram. But for inna jannat wa man khaf maqam rabbih, I'm going to face Allah Ta'ala. The moment I'm going to face Allah Ta'ala, wanaha nafsa in hawa, you go against your nafs. Allah says, then Allah says, fa inna, you got jannat. Good. A person got a habit of drugs. His nafs, the most important thing is nafs. The nafs, he wants to take it. No matter how much he wants to take it, he goes against his nafs to make sure he don't take it. In everything, a person got to do stealing. You got to steal it. His business is stealing. Only bad dog goods. Only bad dog goods. No front door. And you know, he got the taste of it. But he heard, you know, it's wrong. It's a big sin. He regrets. Now he tries to put it right. Now it so happened that when he gets all this wonderful parcel coming to him, the straight away the effect takes place. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَوْفَ مَقَوْفَ. The fear comes, I'm facing Allah Ta'ala. وَنَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّا. He goes against his nafs. فَإِنَّا الْجَنَّةِ يَنَّا. So Allah Ta'ala gives him Jannah. So the biggest jihad, once the Sahaba Ikram, Nabi Karim said, Sahabas, when they went on jihad. When they came back from jihad, he said, the Sahabas, now you have come to a bigger jihad. You see, when you go out in Jamaat, that's also a jihad. The big jihad, you come back home. Because in jihad, when you're in Jamaat outside, you get place to sleep, not right to sleep with. You get food not on time, you take it away. You get cold food, you take it away. You get hot food, you take it away. You get late food, you take it away. You get early food, take it away. There's no command. Come back home and say what you learned. When he came back home and the time, his wife did not give food on time. Khalas. Forgot everything what he learned in Jamaat. I'm not running in Jamaat. Just talking. Just talking. What is it? What have you achieved? Some Jamaat people come to Khan Kaaba Hazrati. So sometimes Hazrati delays the food for purpose. Sometimes you see what happens, they get very angry. So what have you learned? So when you learn those things there, that is called Jihad Azhar, a small jihad. When you come back home, then Jihad Azhar, you don't get your food on time. How do you report? How do you react? How do you react? You don't get a nice, wonderful bed. How do you react? Late food, how do you react? If you have reacted badly, then what have you achieved? The biggest enemy is what is the biggest enemy? She said, don't bring your... In other words, the Sahaba was told that jihad as in other words, don't let your nafs overtake you in any way, because the biggest enemy is your nafs. Your biggest enemy is nothing else. And in every way you must keep your nafs far from you. Imam Ghazali Rahman says, keep your nafs far from you. Don't go near it. In which way? Any problem you got, don't bring nafs in front of you. Keep your nafs far. Say in Kila, you're very sick. Now when you're very sick, you don't like people come in front of you. Especially the wife can talk to you a little bit, but you push away. Keep that away. Control yourself. Not going to speak anyhow. You got a problem, don't take it out on me. Nafs must be far, don't come near me. It must be far. You control yourself. You're going through some pain and someone talk to you. You can't bear the pain, you don't talk to the person nicely. You just blow up and there's a flare up. That's enough speaking. Keep your nafs on side. I am not going to speak that. Imam Ghazali gave a very nice experience. Takalif me, any taklif, any problem, any struggles, any pains that you're going through, at that time make sure that you keep your nafs far from you. Keep nafs far from you. The moment you keep your nafs far from you, any kind of people come to you too, because your nafs is far from you, will you fight with that person? You do anything to them. When you go outside now, the person swears at you too. If you keep your nafs far from you, what happens? You don't swear at him. You won't even look at his face. Ibrahim bin Adam, rahmatullahi, one day he was sitting down there and a soldier came and told, asked him, I'm going to the city. He said, ask him, you know, Khuda ka banda hai. He said, yeah, I'm Khuda ka banda. He said, I want to go to the city. He said, it's Kabristan, the city. He got very angry about it, hit him. Yet he hurt him, bad injury. So he carried him and took him to the city. And he took him to the city, the people said, hey, what's wrong with you? You know who this person is? What do you mean? He's Ibrahim bin Adam. Allah, now he got very worried. He came down, he's falling his feet. Listen to this thing. Fell his feet. He said, please forgive me. Please forgive me. What do you think he replied? Every shot you gave me, I said, Allah, forgive me. Every shot you gave, Allah, forgive me. Forgive him. Allah. We are here to take courage. We are to take revenge. We have to do everything, but every shot that person gave is what happened. And what did he say? Allah will reward me for that, and Allah forgive you. Who is doing that today? You hit your wife so much, and what do you do? Revenge and all this. So this is what is called this. Keep your nafs far. Don't bring your nafs forward. If someone tells you something to, your nafs will be very far from it. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. That person is going to tell you something, you say, I'm going to take Allah. There's the nafs. Whether it's at home, whether it's at home, whether it's outside, remember the same person. Then you see what the qualities you have in you, inshaAllah. In other words, whatever desire nafs has to keep you, to do, commit wrong things, keep far. Keep far from your nafs. When you go home, you want to eat certain food. It was not made. Keep your nafs far from it. And carry on doing your work. I desire for this thing. Many times you get stressed for that too. You'll be surprised. I go there and say, no, today I'm going to eat this food. Something else comes. What a joke. Not a word. Don't like it? Don't force anyone to eat food. Nabi Karim from certain places not eat certain things. He didn't force anyone. Today the mother's got a bad habit. They say, eat this thing. And you can't push it down. Don't force them to eat. But do not run down the food. Do not run down. Do not look down at the food. You don't want to eat, don't eat. So this nafs is the biggest shaitan. Don't blame shaitan. This nafs is the biggest shaitan. Put your nafs right. Do not go against your nafs in this. Likewise, not stops you from acting the law of Allah Ta'ala. That time is very important. And enough tells you to act with it, you know, fulfill the law of Allah Ta'ala. Then he says you don't follow Allah Ta'ala. Come on. You wake up in the morning, now Fajr namaz is early morning, now. The mosque is crying. I'm not saying you're not in namaz. We have no right to say the person not in namaz. But the mosque is crying. Where is it? To fulfill the command of Allah Ta'ala, the nafs will tell you, don't do it, don't do it. Until one does not stop oneself in the desire of the nafs, one cannot be having any kind of islah. Your islah can only take place if you do not make your nafs your slave. Your nafs must not be your slave. In committing sins, not saying everything else, the nafs tell you, go near your wife, that's halal. The nafs will go to that haram, don't let him go to. What the nafs tell you, do what Allah has command, do it. Now I'm saying, Mawlana said, don't go again, nafs, and the nafs said, don't do namaz, don't do namaz. Where you're supposed to do it. So once you have this control of this nafs, then you see, inshallah. There's one person, you know, he wants to learn kimya, means cold. So he asked, he came to study by him, and that person said, Hazrat, I can now give me the secret now. He said, okay, I'll give you the secret, but first you go and see one place, you must go there, sit down there. And whatever you see, he will tell you. He went there, he sat down, he saw one person with a donkey, coming with a donkey. And the people are hitting him. And this person is getting upset. You want to do something now? He wants to do something. This person is hitting him. I must go and do something. But he can't do something. They leave him too. But he's getting upset. Flared up. However, that person went there with the donkey. He came to the ustad. What happened? Hazrat, I saw that person with the people hitting him. So what about it? You see, I was getting mad. I was flared up. You know how you talk? No. I'll do this, I'll do that. Hazrat, when you failed. You failed. That person who got hiding his mouth done. And yet see how much of somebody had him. They hit him, they didn't look at that person. Until unless you don't get that condition, you can't get that quality. So that's why I'm saying we have to have that condition us to not become slave of the nafs. People can say anything, whether it's your wife, whether it's your wife, whether it's your friend, whether it's your enemy. Anyone can be everyone, can tell you anything, but you don't say one. It will not affect you. Do not become slave of the nafs. If you got that in, then you try to fulfill every command of Allah. Because the nafs tell you, do not fulfill the command of Allah, you make sure you fulfill the command. If you got that, inshallah, you got into the world. Allah Ta'ala mulkani tawfiq nasib. Wa akhudda wa alhamdulillah. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. Wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban an-nar. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا لا تجعلنا فتنة للقوم الظالمين واجعلنا في رحمتك. ربنا لا تجعلنا فتنة للكفر واغفر لنا ربنا إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم. فاطر السماوات أنت ولي في الدنيا والآخرة. توفني مسلما في المصالح. وصلى الله تعالى على كل سيدنا محمد برحمته.